Once upon a time, there was a woman married to a most annoying man. He would complain about everything. He never helped out. He expected to be taken care of all the time. One day, he went to the creek with his mule. He complained so much that the mule got annoyed and kicked him to death. At the funeral, when all the men walked by the wife, she shook her head yes. Every time the women walked by, she shook her head no. The priest asked the woman, "Why are you shaking your head yes for men and no for women?" Her response was, "The men would say how sorry they felt for me, and I was saying, yes, I'll be all right." When the women walked by, they were asking if the mule was for sale. Our readings today seem kind of filled with gloom and doom. From the prophet Daniel, who tells of the day when the great angel, Archangel Michael, shall trumpet the end of time, to our Lord Jesus, who speaks of the time when the Son of Man shall come in glory and gather the elect into his kingdom. While some might find these readings frightening and even shaking them to the core, heard from the right perspective, I think they can truly set us free and give us hope. For the readings are given to us not to incite fear, but rather to invite reflection. Reflection about how you and I are living each day of our lives. That imaginary mule-kicked husband certainly represents people who spend their lives locked in themselves and whose only concern is that the world bow down to them and to their needs. And while the husband may be an extreme example, those many variations of his behavior find a home, sadly, in many places and peoples throughout our world and maybe even in our own lives. These readings for this final numbered Sunday in our church year, the 33rd Sunday, next week we'll celebrate Christ the King. These readings challenge us, I think, to look at life a little differently, not with self-centered concern, but rather with compassion and care for others. And I think they really call us to see with new eyes, to see, perhaps, that the person who cuts us off in traffic might be a single mom who worked 9 hours that day, was rushing home to cook dinner, help with homework, do the laundry, and spend a few precious moments with her children. Or maybe that elderly couple who are walking annoyingly slowly through the grocery aisles and who block our shopping progress are savoring this moment, knowing that based on the biopsy report she got back last week, this might be the last time they'll be able to go shopping together for a while. To serve each other is not only to learn to think differently, though. It also means taking the next necessary step and moving outside of ourselves, to lend that hand to those in need, that listening ear to those who are lonely, and that compassionate and understanding heart to those who find themselves out on the fringes of society. It's only when we learn to give of ourselves in service to each other and to those in need that we gain that proper perspective on life, and we might say on death, and let Jesus Christ lead us, so that ultimately we, in the words of the prophet Daniel, we might be wise and shine brightly like the stars forever. Death is coming. For our parishioner, longtime parishioner of St. Ann Paul Bisdorf, death came very unexpectedly last Sunday morning when a heart attack took him from us. We continue to pray for his wife, Linda, and all who knew and loved Paul. COVID, and particularly of late, the Delta variant, has forced us all to experience death and its possibility in a very sobering and real way. And if it's true that death is a reality for all of us, then how are we preparing for it? Seneca, that Stoic philosopher, once wrote, "Let us prepare our minds as if we'd come to the very end of life. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance life's books each day. For the one who puts the finishing touches on their life each day is never short of time." As people of faith, we should not be afraid of death. Someone recently mentioned to me that ancient practice of memento mori, Latin for remember you must die. And it made me start to wonder, could meditating on my own death help me find peace? Could it keep me grounded in God's will for our future and for the future of our nation, even when at times it seems rather foreboding? Memento mori, it's a very Christian practice that has its roots in Scripture and in the Roman culture. The Psalms, for example, point to the value of this practice. Psalm 90 says, "So teach us to count our days, that we may gain wisdom of heart." How about those familiar words from Genesis that we hear each Ash Wednesday? "Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." The rule of St. Benedict, which has been around 1,500 years plus, has its own version. Keep death before your eyes. My brothers and sisters, this isn't to be morbid on a beautiful Sunday morning or to cause fear. Rather, it's to be real, to be mindful, and to be ready. And as the letter to the Hebrews reminded us, it's to help us be hopeful. For the one single sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has done far more than any priestly sacrifice any of us could make. Our Lord's sacrifice of his life has washed away all our sins for all time. So anyone who turns to him can be cleansed and receive the pledge of eternal salvation. This is the true heart of the gospel, of the good news. Christ has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. His perfect sacrifice has opened the gates of heaven to you and to me forever. No matter who you are or what you've done, you can confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. As the threats of gloom and doom close in, we must keep this magnificent truth in the forefront of our minds, that while Jesus is seated forever at the right hand of God, he is also standing by our sides, assuring us of his mercy and salvation. And so let us give witness each day to this reality and call those around us to true faith in Jesus, our salvation, and theirs.